I'm speaking today with Paula Harris, who's a candidate for HISD trustee in District 4. Paula, first question, why are you running for this office?
I'll tell you, I've been partnering with the schools for quite some while. As a corporate partner, well, I manage community affairs for a large oilfield service company. And as a community affairs partner, we brought in lots of program resources into the schools and have been able to see the schools from the inside of that angle. I also sit on a HISD CAPE board, so I've been very intimately involved, you know, very closely involved with the schools. And then I have a 7-year-old daughter. And as I went around trying to find a magnet program or exemplary school for her, it was quite obvious that we were not going to be able to attend school in District 4. So went out to the usual suspects of schools, the West U Elementary, the Twain with their IB program, the Strong Magnet Elementaries, and there wasn't even any room. You know, they were filled with their community kids. And I just really came to the conclusion that our community schools needed better representation, that we could fill our community schools with our community kids by bringing strong programs, bringing resources, and upgrading our facilities.
Okay. Now, as you say, your background is in business, not as an educator. What do you think that enables you to bring to HISD?
Well, I've sat on boards. I've sat on boards appointed by the governor. I've sat on boards appointed by the mayor. I've sat on many community boards, from Project Row House to Hester House to Ensemble. And when you sit on a board, what you bring is your strategic planning. What you bring is your ability to bring resources, to find resources. You also have your ability to look at policy, set procedures. I've not only done that on the board level, I've done it in corporate. And I've done it with my own business. I own a DPM Alliance Home Health that started in my parents' garage, and now we have 32 employees in our own building we own in Midtown. And all of that is about strategic visioning, placement, being able to find resources, put teams together, motivate others. And that's what board members are to do. We're not in there to teach or to principal or to do any of the other administrative work. We have to find the best people, get them the resources they need, and let them move forward. So I like to use the example of corporate boards. When American Airlines gets ready to find someone to vote onto their board, they don't pull their best pilot. They keep their best pilot in their plane, and they put a good business person, a visionary, on the board. And that's exactly what we need in District 4. We need strong educators in our schools.
Okay. Now, obviously the biggest thing going on with HISD right now is the bond referendum. You are in favor of it. Tell me about that.
You know, I've never been a person to cut off my nose to spite my face. I completely agree that it was presented wrong. It was marketed incorrectly. Initially, they were having a lot of school closures on it, and I think that was a bad move. But at the end of the day, if you're going to put a new science lab in every secondary school, new science facilities, I can't vote against that. After watching with the security breaks and issues that just happened across this country and have been happening, I can't vote against $90 million in security, not only just for my child, but for the other 200,000 children. We can't make the children pay because the administration and the current board members did not do what they needed to do. There will be other bonds, but we cannot say, oh, our children can wait until I get exactly, I want a new Yates, and until they give me a new Yates, everybody else has to suffer. I really encourage everyone, especially in the African American community, to go over to the new Bastion where the whole school is wireless, where the research computers in the library, the computer labs, the mobile computer systems in the classroom, to go over to the new Thompson Elementary, which was just dedicated the other week, and see what our children should and could have, and there's more of that to come. What they need to make sure they do is put the strongest business person on the board to make sure that our kids get the resources and facilities they need. But we can't cut off the children because we didn't get our pet project funded or because it wasn't presented right. I haven't found many parents in this district that are saying, no tax increase, no very limited amount of closures. So I'm not going to vote because I didn't like the way Saavedra did this or the board did that. You find parents that say our children deserve these. We deserve these new science labs. We deserve the science, the security, the renovations at Lockhart, the money being that's going to be put into Yates. And then we get on that board and we negotiate for even more.
Now, you know, Dr. Saavedra was just in the Chronicle the other day talking about, you know, how, where we are and how we got here with the bond referendum, and it sounds like there's still a number of things that are up in the air, fluid, to be determined. You know, from this point forward, what would you like to see happen, assuming this referendum passes, that, you know, hasn't necessarily been either proposed or accepted yet?
What hasn't been proposed or accepted are, I mean, if we look at the facilities at Ryan, Ryan is going to need more resources. Yates had a lot of money put into it that because of our leadership, the leadership that was in place, that we can't even see the $20 million that was put in from the last bond. So we're going to have to fix that. We go down to Attucks and Thomas down south. There are a lot of needs. The list goes on, and you just started one by one, taking them, negotiating for them, and knocking them down. We aren't going to get everything we want immediately, but over time we have to make sure that our children are serviced and that have the resources that they need. And at the same time that we work on new buildings, new bricks and mortar, the emphasis has to be on programs and leadership. And bonds don't cover that. So we have to make sure that our children are getting the programs, that our children have the curriculum, the teachers, and of course the leaderships leading our schools, that make sure they get out successful, either ready to go to college or ready to go be a concerned working citizen.
So let's talk about programs for a second. What's your vision? What should HISD be doing that it's not?
Well, I tell you what, it's not that they're not doing it. They're not doing it in District 4. We have international baccalaureate programs that put out how many AP students and how many national scholars, right? They're just not in District 4. So you have...
Well, why is that?
Because we haven't had a... We haven't had the people knocking down the door. We haven't had the leadership making sure it happens. Diane Johnson is making it happen over there. Lamar has an IB program that's out of this world. Twain just got a new IB program out of this world. The new Chavez, the new Reagan. So it's not that the programs aren't coming. It's not that you don't have strong vanguards. It's not that we don't have strong magnet. You look at that strategic plan on the west side with Parker music going into Persian music, going into Bel Air music. Those are strong strategic magnet programs that start from K through 12. We don't have that. And it's because we've had a great educator sitting on this board, but not a good business visionary. So someone that says, hey, let's start doing some preventative medicine. Let's start looking at our kids before they drop out. Let's start looking at them before they get to 12th grade and can't pass a test, before they get to middle school and can't pass the test. Let's start putting emphasis on elementary education, elementary strategic programs that will feed into a Yates communication program, that will feed into a Jones Vanguard program. So what happens is we look up at the end of the day and we have schools that don't meet adequate yearly progress, but only 50% of those students came out of elementary passing the tax test. So how do you expect them to get to middle school and high school and pass the test? So we have to do some preventative programs. We have to do some intervention on families that are high risk for dropouts. We have to do some parental training. It's very, very difficult when you have socioeconomic levels that we have. But other parts of the city have kids from very poor that have very limited English, that have exemplary schools. So it just takes good management, a lot of accountability, and you have to put together some results-based program. If it doesn't work, pull it out. If the person isn't making it happen, let's replace.
Okay. You mentioned the tax test. Do you think there's too much emphasis on standardized testing?
I do, but I also understand that you have to measure. There is too much emphasis on we take the Stanford, we take the tax. We should do the end of course. I mean, you go back to your business, what did the kid know when you got them as a teacher, and what did they know when you left? Did they meet what the requirements were? And if you call it end of course, if you call it SAT, if you call it tax, if you call it, you know, the whole thing is measure what the child knows and what they're prepared to do now. Measurements of children are not going to go away, and HISD board definitely isn't going to have a isn't going to make it go away. What we have to do, it's a basic test. We have to make sure our leaders and our teachers are preparing the entire child, not just teaching a test. I came through HISD, and I always like to say, once a year in the spring, they would tell us, bring two number two pencils to school. And we didn't even know, but we were going to take the Iowa Basic Skills Test. Our test grades could stand up against anyone's across the city, and they never taught us the test. They taught the child, and we could take any test.
Okay. Another aspect of accountability that you've talked about is is merit pay for teachers, which is something that you favor. I guess the question I have is, how do you measure teacher performance and determine, you know, who's worthy of a merit pay increase?
Well, it has to be team-based, and it has to be for everyone, because it's not just the teachers educating our children, believe it or not. You have a whole staff there. You have librarians. You have nurses. So it's going to be based on school performance, class performance, where the children were when you got them, and where they were when they left you, and what they're prepared to do now. Can they take the test? Can they do whatever, you know, hoop or whatever level we want them to be at? Are they there? And not just based on their math, but also based on their leadership. You know, did the school have a great student council that came in? Were there programs? Were there after-school programs? So the principals, our leadership has to be able to fairly and objectively assess their entire team, where we were in September and where we were in May.
Sounds like a difficult task, though. How do you objectively measure a student council?
Well, you look at...
I'm asking kind of generally speaking. How do you measure some of these things?
Well, you measure them based on their success in the product that they produce. The problem is, we don't have them. There is none. So anything would be better. I mean, in a lot of these schools, we don't have these same programs. We don't have the etiquette programs. We don't have the after-school violin and piano and, you know, the thing that make the whole child. We don't have the exposure. A lot of times, as a partner, I go into a school and I'm paying for buses just to get them to the zoo and the museum and the George R. Brown. So how well did you manage your partnerships? How well were our children exposed? How well were they taught? And there's going to be learning not only in the classroom but outside, based on leadership, based on them being able to compete in Odyssey of the Mind, based on them being able to compete in math, science, robotics. So all of that has to come into account, and that's just not teaching. It's the whole team.
So you would envision, when you talk about merit pay, you would envision this being something that basically every staff member at a school would be a part of, not just the teachers.
I do. Because I see teams. I've worked in teams, and I know teams work, and I know any cafeteria worker can help you decrease truancy if she knows she is part of the team, and if she knows she should be watching out and watching these kids jump over the back fence and reporting them, and that's part of what's expected. So most definitely, I fully believe in the team process and the open communication and people working together for the whole child.
Because I know HISD's experience so far with the teacher bonuses has not gone terribly smoothly. How would you overcome the skepticism that the teachers have of this?
Well, the first year went really bad. This year, I talked to Gail Fallon, and they like it a little more, and it is going more to team. And part of the problem was some teachers got a $7,000 bonus, and then other teachers that weren't in tax classes felt like they weren't being appreciated because they didn't get anything. It was totally based on tax, and we can't do it like that. We have to make sure that everyone's working together. So that's where the team aspect comes in. We can't just base it on the one test that we put too much emphasis on anyway. We have to look at our school as a whole, our children being taught, being exposed, being getting, like I said, the programs and the speakers and the partnerships. All of that has to be part of the process.
How would you rate HISD's handling of the key school problem?
It was horrible. It was horrible. And as a parent of an HISD student, it's where my where a lot of my decisions come from, but definitely my rating of that. I can't imagine my child continuing to go to any school that makes her feel sick. And the fact that the district did not believe the teachers or did not move fast enough or did not clear out fast enough is horrible. On the other hand, when they went over to Fleming was is an excellent school. I've partnered with Fleming. I've done robotics summer camps at Fleming. I send them on. I know the principal well over there. If there's not enough room for learning, find it. Whatever you have to rent, wherever you have to go. But if you have kids on top of each other learning three different subjects from three different teachers, is not acceptable. And I think once all of this is pointed out, well, once it was pointed out, changes were made. But it's unacceptable for any child to go to school and not be in a good learning environment.
Charter schools have been in the news a lot lately. I think it's the YES Preparatory and KIPP are both expanding. HISD has some partnerships now. I think one charter school is going to be actually doing things on an HISD campus. What's your opinion of all that?
I think if it works and to develop a whole child, I'm for it. The problem with charter schools, we have good charter schools and we have bad charter schools. And a lot of people want to say, well, they don't have the same issues. They don't have the discipline. They get the good kids. They get the kids whose parents care. Well, we had those kids. And those parents, single parents from low socioeconomic, agreed to sign a contract. They agreed to go to a school where they have to be very, very active and engaged, where there are zero disciplinary problems, and it's working for them. We could have found a way to keep that customer or to meet that parent's needs in the district. So I really don't think that charter schools are our enemy. I really don't think that charter schools are something that that we should be against. I think we should measure ourselves on our ability to take that same profile of student and meet their needs in the public school system.
Okay. What one thing would you like to see HISD do that it's not doing now?
Oh, man, just one, huh? The main thing, and a lot of this is District 4, we have to put throughout the city, throughout every region, strong magnet programs, strong international baccalaureate programs, and strong Vanguard programs. They can't be all clustered on one side of the town or the other. Where I'm saying the teachers have gone through training, where we focus on the gifted children, where we focus on a child's desires from the very beginning. Because what happens then, if we put together these strategic plans or these strategic strands that can meet a child's need, whether they're magnet, whether they're vocational or career and technology, but you become an option, then kids will still have this open enrollment, but they'll be coming back over here if they want a certain strand, just like our children are going over there for music or technology up north. So we have to make sure that we have strong programs all over the district. And that's one of the things I'm really fighting for, to get another Vanguard program. We don't have one Vanguard program in District 4. We don't have one international baccalaureate program. We have not one exemplary school with open enrollment. So we have to concentrate and make sure that in every community there are strong schools and most definitely strong strategically placed magnet, Vanguard, and IB programs.
And is there one thing HISD is doing that you want to see them stop?
Now that's an interesting question. What are they doing that I don't like and would like to see stopped? I'll tell you what they're doing that I'd like to see. I don't like the fact that they have that board meeting at 3:00 on a Thursday across town. They are going to have to do two things. They're going to have to televise the board meetings, and they're going to have to come out of the Hattie Mae White. We're going to have board meetings in the community at 6:30, 7:00 around town so that all of our parents can be engaged in the process.
All right. Paula Harris, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank
Good luck to you.
Appreciate it.